We are in a series called This Is Us. And we thought this would be a good series, especially with Apopka plant opening. Now here, it's always good to remind us of who we are. And so last week, we said that we are a family of what? Faith-filled, big-thinking followers of Jesus Christ. This is our mission statement, that we are not a group of isolated individuals that live fear-filled, inward-thinking lives that follow after the ways of the world. But rather, God calls us to be that family of faith-filled, big-thinking followers that follows after Him. And so that's who we are. And we're spending the next 5 weeks, this being week one, talking about what we believe are our five core values. And we believe these are our five core values because we believe ultimately these things are most important to Jesus. And I think in a world filled with so much information on how to follow Jesus, there's never been more information on what a disciple of Jesus should look like. And there, I believe there's never been more confusion practically on day-to-day. What does it look like to follow Jesus? And so a few years ago, I looked at all the red letters of Jesus, and I saw these patterns pop off the page that I believe are core values to Jesus that are most important to Him. And so if they're most important to Him, they should be most important to us. And so we are adopting these five core values for our church. We used to have 10 core values as a church, and nobody knew them, including the lead pastor. So we decided, hey, let's make it easier. Let's have five core values, and let's have them come directly from the words of Jesus. And so our five values are being, forgiving, serving, giving, and going. Come on, let's say that together, church. Being, forgiving, serving, giving, and going. One more time. Being, forgiving, serving, giving, going. B-f-s-g-g. Turn to your neighbor right now and say, b-f-s-g-g. Feels nice for some reason. I don't know why. If these are the things that are most important to Jesus, these are the things that are most important to us. And if this is what it looks like to represent Jesus as a disciple, and a church is made up of disciples, then this is going to be what we're known for. Being, forgiving, serving, giving, and going. Today it starts with being. It starts with being. And as I've written the book Red Letter Challenge and seen congregations go through it, I've seen thousands of people that I didn't realize which ones of these values would be hard or easy for people. But actually the one that's most difficult, I think, is probably what we'd all expect. It's the going. It's actually sharing the words of Jesus. People have the hardest time doing that. But actually the one that's second most difficult, I was surprised by this, and I shouldn't be, is being. And honestly, this is the hardest one for me. To simply be with Jesus. You know our mission statement? That it's awesome to be in a family. It's awesome to be filled with faith. It's awesome to be big outer thinking. But the greatest part about our mission statement is the opportunity we get to follow Jesus. To just be with Him. And I don't know about you, but I think why it's hard for me is because I'm wired to do. I'm wired to do, and I look at things on the outside, and we can look at successes and accomplishments and rewards and wins and victories, and we can measure that, but sometimes it's hard to measure just stuff on the inside, just being with God. In my work week, I normally do all my meetings. I try to on Monday and Tuesday, and then have Wednesday and Thursday more of my doing days. And on Monday and Tuesday, I'll have meetings back to back to back to back to back. And I'll come home, and my wife will say, "How's your day? What'd you do?" And I say, "Well, I mean, it was okay. I was in 8 meetings back to back to back, and I got in 8 conversations. And like, if we do the stuff we talked about, like, it's going to be awesome." But nobody measures success by just having conversation and being with one another. You have those meetings so that ultimately you can do stuff, so that ultimately you can see results. But I'm here to tell you, like, actually the being is what's most important. So what I want to talk about today is not so much focusing on the outside and all the success and accomplishment and awards that may come, but actually focusing on the inside is what's going to be the difference for our church. Being with Jesus. We focus so much on the outside and not on the inside. And you guys do this too. A lot of times we treat symptoms. We don't necessarily like to deal with the heart of the matter, so we'll just treat symptoms. And the great thing about today is everybody can be a doctor thanks to Google.
Oh yeah.
Right? I mean, you just type in your symptoms and it tells you what you have and what you should do. And a lot of us, we even have our own sort of fixes. And so whether it's apple cider vinegar or diffusing essential oils or elderberries or probiotics or drinking honey tea with a splash of lemon upside down with your nose plugged. Like, I don't know what it is for you, but we've all got things that work for us. The only one I've seen universal that everybody agrees with is avocados are good. That's the only health thing I know. until this week when I'm sure they'll have an article that blows the superfood to pieces. But anyway, we have these symptoms, and so we treat them, and so we know what the symptoms are for a cold, and so we know that we're going to have a hard time sleeping at night, and so we're very easily just ready to take the NyQuil, and we fill the cap up, and we take it, and we go to bed at night. Some of you do it so much, you don't even need the cap. You're like, give me the NyQuil, boom, out. And you know that will be effective, and it'll get you to sleep that night. But the problem is, you start asking, and you start realizing, why am I having all these colds all the time? Like, why is it happening over and over and over? I'm drinking NyQuil, I'm going to sleep, but I don't feel like I'm actually getting fixed at all. Why is that? The problem is, you should stop drinking NyQuil and eat more vegetables.
Oh, yeah.
Or get 7 to 8 hours of sleep a night. Like, there's a something on the inside that's wrong with you that you need to fix. And if all you ever do is treat symptoms, you'll never get to the heart of the issue. It's far easier to treat symptoms than to actually deal with the heart. But we're a culture that we like to, if there's problems on the outside, we'll put outward solutions to fix it. And I found a few that I online that I thought were pretty good outward solutions that may work for a little while, but won't work long term. So maybe you've seen these online too. Let's show the first picture. This is, it says, don't move the Nutella. It's holding up the shelf. I think that's it works, right? It works for now, but what about the day when you want that Nutella? Now, it's all gonna come down. Maybe you should probably fix the shelf. That's the real issue there. How about the next one here? I like this picture. And duct tape is the ultimate answer to fix outward solutions, isn't it? And that'll work for a little while. It'll work for a little while. Great. Hope that's not you in there, by the way. That one won't even work. I just thought it was interesting. Just duct tape and I'll draw lights. That's interesting. Good for you. How about the next one? It says, I asked my Gma, why do you have this contraption in your kitchen? She said, if someone breaks in, I'll hear the cans fall. That's my alarm. That's a problem, right? I mean, you got to drink a lot of soda to keep up with that, but this is a good one too. He has a bungee cord to hold up his jeans. I noticed as well he missed the belt loop where the bungee cord is. But anyway, probably should stay away from the Pepsi. And then here's another one. They wanted to get their beer cold, and so the fridge was full. So what, you know, throw it in the washer, dryer, whatever that is.
Washer,
is that what that is? Cool, I've never seen one, so. And all these will work, like, they're decent, I mean, they're innovative, creative ways to fix outward problems, but none of those will work long term. So how does this apply to us? Well, I think as a church, we have a problem. As followers of Jesus, we have a problem. We are called to follow and imitate Jesus, yet we are doing a poor job of representing the real Jesus to the rest of the world. An extremely poor job. Somebody's saying, why are you being so negative? We're not doing that bad. Fine, I'll be more positive. I'm positive we're doing a really bad job of representing Jesus to the world. Why do you say that, Zach? Well, Jesus is known for grace, right? This gift that we don't deserve. And we are known, his followers, as judgment, which is getting exactly what you do deserve. It's exactly the opposite of Jesus. Jesus is known for good works and we're known for hypocrisy. Jesus is known for unity and we're known for division. Like, we're not just a little bit missing the mark. We're completely missing the mark. And this is the problem. And it's really easy to say, this is the problem. Here's the answer. Those are the symptoms. Let me tell you now how we're going to fix it. And I'm here to tell you now, we're not going to fix it by focusing on the outside. We're only going to fix it by a change in our heart. We need a heart transplant. I love the way Proverbs tells it to us. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. We're so wired to do that a lot of times our heart isn't in the right place. And so we'll go out and we'll do a lot of stuff, and Christians do. And yet, in the midst of all that we've done a horrific job of showing the real Jesus to the world. We need a heart change. And so at the cross, I don't want to deal. We won't treat symptoms. We'll deal with the heart this morning. I want to look at how to be changed on the inside in our inner being. And there's this incredible section of scripture that I've just been praying over and over this last week that Paul wrote to the Ephesian church in chapter 3. He says this. He says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And I pray as I'm kneeling, I'm praying that out of his glorious riches, look at this, that he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. I want that spirit to come in your inner being. Why? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Interesting phrase. To know this thing that surpasses knowledge. To know the thing that you can't know. So that in the end, you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That's what we want. We want to be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I want when people look at me to know that I'm filled with the fullness of God. I've had people tell me before that I'm full of something. I want to be filled with the Spirit. That's where it ends. Paul says you can be filled with the fullness of God, but how do you get there? Well, it actually starts by praying that out of God's glorious riches, he might strengthen you with his power in the Holy Spirit, in your inner being. You want to be full. It starts with being with God. And there's this progression. I don't know if you saw this progression in the prayer. Paul starts by saying that we would be strengthened by the Spirit in our inner being. Why? So that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. Why? So that we'd be rooted and grounded in love. Why? So that we could know this love that surpasses all knowledge. Why? So that in the end, we are this completely, fully mature, filled person of God. I love that. But it's not going to start until it gets you on the inside. And Paul is dealing with heart issues here. He's not dealing with symptoms. And it's one of my regrets in this world that I can oftentimes very quickly jump to fixing problems. A lot of us guys, we do this in our marriages. Your wife tells you about the problem she has and you ultimately go into problem solving, fix it mode. When what she's wanting, this is a brand new word I just learned. I think it's brand new, called empathy. Brand new word, right? Look it up. Or support or something like that. And instead, we just want to fix it. And as a pastor, it's really easy for me to look at symptoms and ask questions and say, why? God, why don't they get it? Like, why aren't they serving? Why aren't they giving? Why are they so greedy? Why are guys and girls still looking at porn and indulging in extramarital stuff? Why is this going on? Why? And these are the symptoms of ultimately a much bigger problem that's in the heart. The heart is the issue. And I've been really convicted that all of these issues, the symptoms, are not the main issue. The real issue is that we have a deep heart problem. And it's that you don't really understand how much you have in Jesus Christ. Because if you understood how much Jesus Christ loves you and how much Jesus Christ has done for you, all of those symptoms won't be happening in your life. And you'll be looking at your stuff and you'll be looking at your junk and your sin and saying, I don't want that sin anymore because I know how good God is to me. I don't care about that. That's the core issue, is we don't fully understand this love that God has for us. Because if you fully understood the love of Jesus Christ, then you would with great joy sell everything you have to come and follow after him. Thank you. And that's exactly it. I'll tell you this great news and some of you go, huh, that's nice. It hasn't taken root in your heart, rooted and established in love, Paul says. And the hard part that I feel, and maybe you feel, and I know the hard part that Paul felt, is he physically knew he couldn't do anything to make this happen for someone else. I can't force it on you. There's nothing that I say to you today that's like, oh, okay, now I understand because you told me, Zach. No, I can't give it to you. The Holy Spirit of the living God and his power have to give it to you and strengthen you on your inner being. It's not something I can just hand to you. And that's the hard part, is we try to fix symptoms, but when we're fixing symptoms, that's what we can do. But only God can change the heart. And we have to get to a point where we're looking at the heart of things and stop in counseling, talking about, well, there's this problem, and the love languages and his needs and her needs, and say, wait, I don't know. Let's pause for a moment. Do you really understand the love of God? And if not, let's get on our knees and pray that Jesus Christ would become real to us. Because if you really understand, all this other stuff would go away. If you really got a glimpse of him, but it's hard because we can't give it to someone. God has to. Let me explain it like this. Some of you who may be married and have kids and maybe both jobs and you're busy and doing what you feel like God's called you, which is great. You may have a friend. Let's just say that she's single and she's just nice, but she's always around you. And you're thinking, you know what? It would be nice. Like, I love this girl, but it would be nice if, like, she wasn't around quite so much. And so what do? We then play matchmaker and try to set her up, because then she's not our problem, she's somebody else's. You know what I mean? Maybe you guys don't think like this. You're holy angels out there, whatever. But anyway, let's say you've got this friend, let's call her Rosie, and you've tried before, and it's like nothing's worked, but you've got this guy coming over, and it's your plumber, right? You don't even know this guy. It's just a plumber, you know it's a guy coming, and you tell Rosie, hey, I got this great guy. You don't even know, but I got this great guy coming over. I want you to come over at such and such time, and you know, I want to introduce you to someone I think you're really gonna like. And so before the plumber's there, you're baking cookies and you actually give them to Rosie and you say, Rosie, when I call you in, I want you to bring these cookies in. And so he does his little thing, he works his magic, and then all of a sudden it's time and Rosie comes to the door with fresh, warm, baked cookies from the oven, and you say, oh, Rosie, you're so great. If you're not baking these amazing cookies, you're in the gym or you're cleaning, what a great wife one day you'll be. Oh, by the way, have you met Joe the plumber? And you put these two together, and it's like no matter how many times you set up somebody and how many times you try to play matchmaker, it's like you can't figure it out. It's almost like these two have to fall in love on their own without you. And it almost makes me feel like all I can do and all we can do is make the introduction. And that's it. That's all I can do. That's all we can do. All we are is seed planters. That's it. And that's why Paul's on his knees and he's urging, because he's realizing there's people that, God, I can't give them this. Only you can. So all I can do is make the introduction. And after I make the introduction, all I can do is get on my knees and pray for them. That's it. But God, you have to become real to them on the inside. And when you become real to them on the inside, and Christ is dwelling in your faith, and they can be rooted and grounded in you. And after that, then they can grasp how wide and long and high and deep and know this love that surpasses knowledge. And after that, then they can be filled with the fullness of God. But all we can do is make the introduction. And that's it. Do you know Jesus? Do you know how good he is? You know how good our God is? Do you know that the creator of the world loves you? That he so loved the world that he sent his son, but he, in so loving the world, he so loves you that he would go to a cross and die on that cross for you and give his life for a death that you deserve to die. And then he would raise from the dead 3 days later, and he would start talking to people. And when he was talking to people, he told them that I found a way to have that same spirit that rose me from the dead to actually live on the inside of you. And everybody who has it on the inside of you, one day I'm going to come back and I'm going to come get you. And he ascended into heaven and he's seated at the right hand of God the Father, but he will come back, and all those who have the Spirit on the inside will one day reconnect, and he will restore everything in a perfect world for us. Amen. And some of you will hear that and you go, yeah, that's nice. And that's the problem, is we kind of get it. We kind of do, and so we kind of follow Jesus. But if you really got it, if Christ really takes root in your heart, I'm here to tell you, all the doing problems will go away. All the symptoms are gone. Because when you're filled with the Spirit, you don't do that stuff. Do you realize that there's never in the history of the world been a Spirit-filled couple that's gotten a divorce? There's never been a Spirit-filled man that's abused his wife. Never been a Spirit-filled person that's indulged in pornography. That's the hard part, right? Is even after we're filled with the Spirit, is we still are tempted, and so we can kind of waver in and out, and the Spirit is what keeps us back. But when you are fully alive and living in the Spirit, you just don't make those decisions. You don't do those things. I wonder how many times I've wasted counseling hours with people by trying to tell them, here's your problem, here's how you fix it. When it's like, duh, they don't know who Jesus is. Let's just get on our knees right now and ask God to invade our hearts. Because when God invades our hearts, He'll give us the Holy Spirit, which means we'll be filled with the fullness of Him, which means that whenever we have a difficult decision to make, the Holy Spirit will make it for us. Because we are that in tune with Him. Do you know that's possible? Now the bad news, again, is I can't give it to you. So I'm a little helpless. I can preach the greatest sermon I ever preached, but it's God that has to give it to you. The good news is that when you cry out to Him, He answers you. And if you want it, He'll give it to you. He doesn't hold out. He's a God that gives. Some of you have friends, you know what I'm talking about, that they keep coming to you with problems and problems and problems, and you give them the answer. Here's how you're going to get off drugs. Here's how you're going to be less greedy. Here's how you're going to know what your future is. When you need to stop treating their symptoms and deal with the heart and say, hey, can I tell you about Jesus and how I think He'll help you in this? And then after you do that, in the privacy of your own home, why don't you get on your knees and pray for that person?
Yep.
I was convicted, man. When's the last time before I kind of got into this? I've been doing it a lot in the last week or so, but when's the last time like I got on my knees and prayed for the people that I pastor? God, I just want them to get it. God, I just want to understand it more. When's the last time you've done that for your friend who doesn't know Jesus? Do you know there's power in that? We spend so much time on the outer man and the outer woman. A lot of you, before you came to church today, spent a lot of time fixing yourself up on the outside to make sure you looked presentable in front of a group of a few hundred sinners. But did you spend any time this morning preparing your heart on the inside, opening His Word, praying that when service started today and the presence of God hits us, as it does when two or three gather in His name, that hearts would be changed? Did you come expectant? Or did you just come looking nice on the outside because that's what we do on Sundays? I don't mean to convict. Actually, I kind of do. Because I think a lot of us have gotten really good at fixing ourselves up on the outside when we're a mess on the inside. And today is about heart surgery. And what stinks is I'm your surgeon and I don't even know how to do it. I can't. And as we look at five core values, being, forgiving, serving, giving, and going, being is the most important of the five. Like, it's on top, all by itself. Because I believe that as you spend time and be with Christ, all the doing flows out of that. That everything you do for Jesus is a direct result of being with Jesus. And even as we're going to be preaching the next few weeks, and as I'm talking through forgiving, serving, giving, and going, some of you are going to hear the messages, and you're going to hear Zach say, you need to be more forgiving, you need to be more serving, you need to be more giving, which, by the way, it's not what I'm going to say, but that's how you'll hear it, some of you. And you'll say, well, I just got to be more giving. If He says I got to be more giving, fine. Here's $20 for the kingdom of God. Enjoy. It's like, I don't want your $20. I don't want your $20. What I'm saying is, if you have a forgiving problem, if you have a serving problem, if you have a giving problem, if you have a going problem, you have a being problem. Because this is just who God made us to be. That's who we are. I don't want you, as we talk about serving in a couple of weeks, to fine, I'll serve and bring your poor attitude and wreck all the ones that serve with a good attitude. Because I'm tired of people, and it's one of my biggest pet peeves of people that walk around serving Jesus, and they're so negative, and everything is sad, and it's always a burden, and it's always an obligation. And I'm not saying that following Jesus is always easy. It's a lot of times very difficult, and the enemy comes after you. But I want you to know that following Jesus is never an obligation, but always the single greatest opportunity of our lifetime. And we realize that when we be with Jesus, and we see what he's done for us. Being is the most important value because everything stems out of our relationship with Jesus. Everything. And so I've been praying this over my life. Matthew 12, 34. I like it. Matthew 1, 2, 3, 4. It says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Some translations say, out of the overflow of your heart, the mouth speaks. I've been praying, God, I want the overflow of my life. I want the overflow of my ministry to come out of my heart and my relationship with you, Jesus. I don't want it to come from anywhere else, because I have to confess, it is easy for my ministry to come out of a relationship, not with Jesus Christ, but with Google. It is easy for me to whenever I know what I'm preaching on, a topic or a sermon passage, to type that topic or type that sermon passage in, and then right after it, type Francis Chan, Stephen Furtick, Matt Chandler, Louis Giglio, Andy Stanley, Chris Hodges, my dad. It's really easy to see what these great guys have done, because Maximizer is one of my strengths, my top strengths. And so one of the traits is, it says, they seek to transform something strong into something superb. And so I can look at these guys and say, man, they preach strong messages. And so they've spent a lot of time studying. So obviously there's good content there. I'm going to take it out of there. I'll tweak it for my context a little bit. And I have to confess that I've done this. And here's the reality. It is very effective. Very effective. And I'm not saying there's never a time. And I think, okay. And I think in many ways, it's kind of the modern day version of studying in some ways that wasn't available back in the day. And it's not wrong to pull an illustration here or there or there or there. But I never want my ministry to come out of the overflow of my relationship with Stephen Furtick. And I never want my relationship and my ministry to come out of the overflow of my relationship with Andy Stanley. And I don't ever want your ministry and the overflow that comes out of your heart come out of a relationship with Zach Zender. If you're listening to me more than you're listening to Jesus, there is a serious problem. And you are doomed, by the way, if that's you. I'm just saying. Because I am full of something. And it's not always the Spirit. But I want my ministry to come out of my relationship with Jesus Christ. My wife, quite a few times around the house over the years, has said, at the end of the day, all I want for you, Zach, and for me, is I want us to be the real deal. She, more than anyone, knows when the Zach you see on stage, is that the same Zach at home or not? And there's been some Sundays when she said, good message. You listened to so-and-so this last week, didn't you? I said, yeah. I did. Kind of cheated a little bit, didn't I? I don't want anything to come out of this place that's not from Jesus. And I have to confess that there's been times that it's not been Christ. And it's been Zach Zender. And I don't want that. It's not what you want. The greatest opportunity we have to follow Jesus is simply just to be with him. And it's so easy to focus on outside stuff, success, victory, accomplishments, accolades, by all the things that we've done. But I don't care if we have no accomplishments or so many accomplishments. I want them all to come out of relationship with Jesus Christ. And I want my relationship with Jesus to be more important and valuable to me than anything I do for him in this world. I want everything in this world to pale in comparison to knowing Jesus Christ. And I can say that and sometimes believe that and mean that, but not all the time. I want to get to the place where I truly do believe that 100% of the time, that everything that I do in this world pales in comparison to simply knowing Jesus. Can you say that for yourself? I want to get to the point where Paul says it to the Philippians. I love this. He says, whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Those things that I used to think were great, they're losses now for the sake of Jesus. What's more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. Then he goes on to say, I consider them garbage. All the things that I've done in this world, and trust me, Paul's resume is unlike anybody's, and Paul's saying, that's all garbage. What counts is that I may gain Christ and be found in him. And then a verse later he says, I want to know Christ. That's what I want. At the end of the day, I just want Jesus. And I want him so much for me, but I want him for others, that I'll get on my knees and I'll pray for them. I just want you in my heart, Jesus. I just want to receive your love and to give that love away then, because the most powerful follower of Jesus is someone who is madly and deeply in love with him. You want to be a powerful follower of Christ? Fall in love with Jesus and everything will happen. But Zach, what about all the things God asks me to do? What do I do? How do I do that? Don't worry about doing any of those. Sit at the feet of Jesus and hear how good he's been to you, and everything else will get taken care of. You fall madly in love with Jesus, let me tell you, the stuff that God wants you to get done will get done. We've been doing things for Jesus across Christianity for a long time, and we've never been in a worse position, I believe, in representing him than we are right now. And we got to change that. And the way we're going to change that is not by treating any of the symptoms, but coming back to the heart of the issue and realizing and recognizing Jesus loves me. And because of his great love for me, I love him. And there is nothing as good as simply knowing Christ Jesus. And once you know him, everything will get done. At the end of the prayer, Paul actually has two more verses. I love them. It says, now to him who is able to do, he is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. God can do more in 1 millisecond than you can do with your entire life. That's humbling. Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that's at work where? Within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. We're going to talk about doing stuff for God. That's fine. But simply fall in love with Jesus and watch what he does through you. He'll do far more than you ever thought, asked, or imagined. And we'll do great things for him. But may we see that in all the great things that we do for the name and the glory of Jesus, that the greatest thing in this world has already been done for us. And it's when Jesus Christ came into this world as a servant, being made in our likeness. And as a servant, he became obedient to death and died a death that you and I deserve to die. And again, he came down off that cross. They carried his lifeless dead body and placed it in a tomb. And 3 days later, that body rose up with one miraculous breath. And he started telling us about who he is. And he started telling us about the power of the Holy Spirit that rose him, that he found a way for that to now be inside of us. And then he ascended into heaven. And again, he's coming back to get those that have the Holy Spirit in them. That's who Jesus is. And that's the man that I want to know, and that's the man that I want to follow, and that's the man that I want this church to be known for, is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Oh, yeah. It's about the heart, not about all the symptoms. And so I thought this morning what would be appropriate is, like Paul, for anyone who, this may be you, where you've been dealing with your own symptoms. and you keep finding yourself in worse and worse and worse shape, will you ask God into your heart? I can't give it to you, but I know that when you call on His name, He'll answer. And He's a God that doesn't hold back. And He's a God that loves to meet people wherever they are, even if it's at rock bottom. So you've been dealing with symptoms and it's still not working. Do you really understand the love of Jesus? There's others of you that you may be filled right now with the fullness of God. And it's like, I'm on fire for Jesus. Praise God for you. But I bet you know people in your life that either don't know Jesus at all or know Him and follow Him a little bit. Would you get on your knees for those friends and those relatives and family and neighbors? So if that describes you, if you're ready to receive Jesus, or if you're ready on behalf of others to have the love of Christ fill them up, will you join me and get on our knees right now, church, and come before a holy God who can do this? I can't do it. You can't do it. We are powerless. But we have power inside of us through the Holy Spirit that right now as I speak, God could be moving in a mighty way in your life. And I just want to pray for us right now in this holy moment with heads bowed and knees on the floor, kneeling before you. Father, you are so good to us. And God, first we come to you today and we say, God, we are sorry for all the things that we've done to misrepresent you in this world. God, we acknowledge our part in it. We have fallen short of your glory. We are sinful. We are not righteous. And in fact, whatever sin you might have carried in right now, now would be the appropriate time in your heart right now to give it up to Jesus. He wants to take that sin. The Word of God says that when we confess our sins, we have a God who's faithful, a God who's just, and a God who cleanses us and purifies us from all of that unrighteousness. Will you confess your sin now to God? Knowing that when we call on Him, He hears us, He answers. In the silence of our hearts, let's just give up that sin right now. God doesn't want you to carry it any longer. Some of you, it's an ongoing sin that you can't beat. It feels like a habit, feels like an addiction. God wants to break those chains today. Some of you, it's that thing that happened years ago that you just cannot get past. God wants you to know it's been covered by the blood of Jesus. Let it go. Give your heart to Him now. Say, God, I receive you. I receive your forgiveness. Say, God, I want to know you. I want to know this love that surpasses knowledge. I want to be filled with your Spirit. Now there are others that maybe you didn't come in with a lot of burdens, but you came in knowing that there are people that you love right now that don't know the love of Jesus. And together with me, I just want you to be in agreement with the prayer that Paul had for the Ephesians that we can have for those that don't know Jesus. And maybe that's you, but maybe it's somebody else. But Paul got on his knees and he prayed to God that very moment. And he said, Father, I get on my knees for the sake of all the people in heaven and earth that we derive our name from you. And I'm getting on my knees right now and we're asking God from your glorious riches that you would strengthen each of us in this place with the Holy Spirit in our inner being. And Lord, as we receive that Spirit in our inner being, may Christ dwell in our hearts through faith so that we would be rooted and established in love. And we can know together with all the saints and holy people how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Jesus, that we can know the love that surpasses knowledge. so that we may be filled with the fullness of all that you have for us, God. And now to you, who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, and according to the power of the Holy Spirit at work within us, to you, Jesus Christ, be glory in the church now and forevermore. We declare it and we say together, amen. Come on, church, let's stand up right now and lift our hands in response to Jesus Christ. Let's hail him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in this world. There's no one like you, Lord.